B-Pod Studios.
Kemba still struggling, looking for his first make. His three is good. There you go.
Puts his hands up in the air like it's time. Ja Morant's been doing a pretty good job on him, though, defensively.
Ja Morant, Eurostep, floats it up, and the European Daniel Theis blocks it. Marcus Smart throws a long lead pass into the corner for Jason Tatum, who drops back to an open Kemba, who goes back-to-back from three. And this has turned into a beatdown. A struggle for a quarter and a half. Now the Celtics lead by 23.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Ainge, it's always a pleasure.
Fred and Rich, John, how are we doing today?
You know, John's doing the big game on Sunday. He's doing the big Zion Williamson game.
Whoa.
That's right, baby. Mm-hmm. A lot of ears
That's
on that
big
one.
Time.
A lot of ears.
Yeah, that's big time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Zion looked amazing last night in the fourth quarter.
We were just talking about it. If that kid can hit threes, oh my.
Oh my gosh, that would be a tough cover, yeah.
He had no outside shot at Duke, but then you look at him and you're like,
oh boy.
If that wasn't a fluke, my goodness. All right, Danny, you've seen the stuff with Delonte West, obviously, and things are going very poorly for him, but we read that at one point you had offered him a scouting job with the team?
Yeah, you know, Delonte has worked for us for a couple of years at times doing some scouting, college scouting in the D.C. and Philly area, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, you've obviously heard what's been going on. You've seen the videos. You know, as somebody who was close to him, and I think everybody loved Delonte when he was a member of the Celtics, he just seemed to be one of those guys. When you saw that, did you reach out or have you reached out over the years? And what is your relationship with Delonte?
I've been in contact with Delonte over the last few years. I mean, since his career has ended periodically, off and on, but you know, Delonte has obviously some troubles and some trials that he's trying to deal with in his life, and I just hope that he can fix his life and get back on a good path.
Because you've reached out to help him, haven't you?
Yeah, we've tried to give him opportunities, sure.
And how does he respond to those offers?
He responded in, like, he was excited about the opportunities that he's had.
And did he give you a reason why he didn't take them?
No, he has taken them. He's taken advantage of them. You know, I just think that there's a lot going on in his life, and
yeah,
his
hard.
Life is very complicated, and I don't really want to get into any of that.
Right.
No, I understand, but
it was
also
just a hard. It's hard.
But he accepted the job opportunities.
Okay, so but you give a guy an opportunity, and maybe they're not capable of fulfilling that at that point in their lives.
Right.
Is there any kind of plan? Because I saw a bunch of players speak out, and I've seen people saying that they are trying to help him. I'm sure you've talked to people. Is there any kind of plan that you know of to help out Delonte amongst the players and the rest of the NBA?
You know, I know that the Players Association is probably the most appropriate one to be the head of the whatever it is to try to get him back on track. And I think they've done a good job. And I think I know they've tried with Delonte. Mm-hmm. I also know that he has a circle of people that he's close with. I know that there's a lot of people that are praying and trying to do what they can to help.
Okay, well, let's get to the good stuff, because the last two games that the Celtics have had have just been phenomenal. I mean, two of the better basketball games that you'll watch. I mean, yesterday wasn't really all that enjoyable after the first half or so. What was it, 52-12, I think, was the run that they went on
last night. Yes.
But, I mean, it's got to – so what do you think has happened? I know that the team was healthy when they played the Lakers, but last night Jaylen Brown was out. Is there something that you see in these last two games that can explain – why this break from the slump that they had been going through?
Yeah, I think that our defense has been, especially at moments of the last two games, has been amazing. Just getting our hands on so many balls, guys in the right spots, taking charges, you know, diving on the floor. I mean, there's a lot of intensity and determination in our defensive effort. And it's been fun to watch.
Do you have an injury update on first Jaylen Brown, and then we saw Jason Tatum go out of the game last night?
I don't. No, it's still early. I'm here at the office, but I don't think those guys are in yet. They'll be in shortly. But I don't have any updates on Jaylen or Jason. Or Ennis. Ennis got hurt last night, too.
Right.
Yeah. It looked like Jason was fine. I mean, not fine. We don't know the extent.
Well, he was back on the bench at the end of the game.
And there wasn't a noticeable limp, so I got to think that's probably good news to come into.
I mean, I think Jaylen and Jason are fine. I think that, I don't think they have anything. And so I think Ennis will be fine. I hope. I hope all of them will be okay. But you just never know. So I don't know what – I don't have any updates.
Low tolerance for pain is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that.
You're saying that.
The next day is always another story.
Just picture you using air quotes when you say, yeah, they're injured. Right. Yeah, Toughen up, son.
So there was a pretty good interview that happened with Adrian Wojnarowski was talking about a story where he was interviewing Jaylen Brown, and he was talking about how Jaylen Brown, there's the video of him saying that he was going to win like a bunch of rings. The video went viral, and he said that you actually talked to him, Jaylen Brown, about those comments. What did you say to Jaylen Brown after you saw that video? Why did you feel compelled to speak with him?
Oh, boy. I don't remember the specific incident. I mean, I talk to Jaylen all the time and Jason and all our young guys and try to give them some perspective sometimes. But Jaylen is a very bright kid, and I just didn't think it was the right remark. It sounds like winning is so easy and that I'm going to just, you know, go win five championships in my, you know, by the time I'm 28. And, you know, I don't think he was saying that he would. I think he was saying that's what he wants. Well, but I still think that it's better to not say that. It's better to focus on winning one championship at a time, winning one game at a time. And, but anyway, he's a great kid. But we talk a lot.
Who comes to your office the most, just to check in? Like, who do you have the most, like, regular conversations with on the team?
Well, this year?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, Grant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now,
kid's a crack up. Kid's a crack up, man. I call Grant the geek freak.
Yeah. So what does he just come in and, like, ask you if you saw Doctor Who?
The geek freak.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a big Dungeons & Dragons guy. Do you guys, like, you know, talk all things sci-fi or what goes on there?
No, we talk a lot about life, a lot of things in life, but he's a great kid. I really like Grant. But he likes to talk. I mean, he just likes to talk about everything. He's just... I think that he had Daniel Tice and Ennis Kanter offer him to pay him $100 per game to not say anything in the locker room.
Did you give him the day off when the new Star Wars came out?
Oh, he doesn't need a day off. These guys are like, they only have like 5 hours to work a day.
Well, listen, he's putting in extra effort at the gym.
They're like you, Fred. They just come to work for a few hours a day.
That's right. Sometimes when you're brilliant, I mean, all you got to do is show up and let the thoughts come. That's all you got to do.
What did you think of Grant giving the thumbs up after that three-pointer and getting teed up to when he thumbed up to Marcus Cousins?
Oh, I mean, that was a crazy tee. I don't understand that. But I know DeMarcus Cousins got a kick out of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was something. How much of the last couple games and how well they've been playing do you think is just – I mean, you can get up for a Lakers game. You can get up for playing LeBron James no matter what
time
of the year it is. It's prime time. It's a big game that way. Does that make you feel better about the games that they were dogging it before that? That maybe it's just a matter of, all right, now it's time to finally start playing hard.
No, I don't think it's that simple. I think that the scheduling has a lot to do with it. I mean, as an example, and this isn't excuses, like we have scheduling wins, just like we have scheduling losses. You know, there's just times where one team has a big physical advantage of rest, and they're coming off a couple losses. They have a humility meeting to get back on the little things it takes to win. But you go through stretches in the NBA where you don't have a lot of time to practice and focus on the details. We're a young team. I don't look at it as they don't care or they're not trying or they're underestimating their opponent, although all of those things do exist. But I know what they're capable of doing. I know that, you know, when we're not playing well, when the ball's not going in, and I think it's easier to play the defense that we were playing last night and the night before when the ball is going in the basket, too.
Danny,
and it just gives you more confidence.
Danny, the NBA All-Star starters are going to be announced tonight. You, as the president of basketball operations of an NBA franchise, you get an advance heads up?
Yeah, there's been some years where I have. You know, there are a couple agents that get maybe a heads up also, and, you know, that find out the same time I do. But sometimes I'm the first one to know, but a very, very short time before.
Oh, okay.
But maybe as the starters are announced, they might keep that sacred, just to have it, you know, the viewers tune in to find out so there's no leaks going out there before the starters are announced.
Does it rhyme with Wanamaker? Pittsburgh's finest?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm just asking if I'm trying to get the information out of you subtly. I'm using an old Spencer for Hire.
I don't have any information.
Okay.
I don't have any information.
All right, I'm just asking. Do you like it when the guys are in the All-Star game? Because in terms of the Bruins, there's this thing called Last Man In, and it's fan voting. And Patrice Bergeron was one of the nominees, and the team was basically like, don't vote for Patrice.
He needs the time off.
Yeah. And then, like, Tuukka Rask, there's a penalty of one game if you don't go to the All-Star game, and he took the penalty. Is there part of you that wishes the guys just had the time off?
Yeah, I mean, we have a big group of guys that'll have the time off. You know, we're talking about two or three guys that might not. But hopefully they take care of themselves. It's not like they're doing a lot in that amount of time. A lot of them will have a trainer with them while they're wherever they are, whether they're on vacation in the Bahamas or they're, you know, in Chicago at the All-Star game.
They'll bring a trainer with them? Really?
Yeah, some of them will, yeah, sure.
You don't want them just to take the time off and kind of decompress?
Yeah, they have plenty of time for that.
You seem to think that they don't have to work very long, which is nice. Like, it's like, yeah, they got plenty. They go see, like, five movies. They got plenty of time to decompress. Life's not so hard anymore.
No. Like, listen, this is the greatest job in the world, an NBA player. You come, you show up. At 9 o'clock in the morning, you have breakfast made for you, your own special breakfast. Then you have to go down and you have to go get a massage for 40 minutes. It's mandatory. then you have to go, you know, get on the treadmill or a stationary bike and ride it for 20 minutes and get good and loose and go lift some weights and go out and shoot free throws for a couple hours. So life is pretty tough with these guys.
So you're saying it was different than when you guys practiced at that dump?
Hellenic College.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the stage at one end.
Yeah, my kid had a
that's right.
My kid had like a game there, and I'm like, what a dump. And, yeah. they're like the Celtics used to
where Larry Bird used to warm up.
Yeah.
Now, Danny had to make his own breakfast every morning. I sense the anger about that.
Yeah. Now things have changed. That has to aggravate you.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like McDonald's drive through breakfast in the morning on the way to Brookline. Yeah, it's a little different errands.
Did you hang out with Snoop Dogg when he was
at
the game?
I forgot about the charter plane and the Four Seasons Hotel.
That's right. Yep. It just keeps on going and going. So tough. Was Snoop Dogg in your presence over the past couple of games? I think he was at the last two ones, right?
No, you know, I'm not a friend of Snoop Dogg's. And I did see him at the game, but that's about it.
You guys wouldn't have a lot to talk about? You guys wouldn't be able to share some, you know, common stories?
I don't know. I don't even know him, so I wouldn't know. Maybe nope. We'd have some fun stories to tell.
No, Danny's East Coast.
That's right. He's the East Coast side.
He was Biggie's guy.
He's on Team Biggie.
Yeah, he was not Tupac's guy.
That's right.
He was Biggie's guy. All right, well, Danny Ainge, I'm sure you got that reference. But Danny Ainge, it is always a pleasure, sir. It is, and congratulations on the last couple games. That Lakers game was something to behold. I'm glad a national audience got a chance to see it. And we appreciate your time as always.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you so much.
Say hello to the Geek Freak for us.
All right.
Insane and Klingon. All right. Thank you, Danny Ainge.
Well, that was the thing about him when he first Grant Williams when he came into the league was that he was like a big Dungeons and Dragons guy,
the Geek Freak. That's yeah. Nice.
That's a great name, good one, Danny Ainge.
Danny
Ainge.
That's gonna stick. Yeah,
Danny Ainge coming up with a good name. So rare. That's like Haley's Comet. Someone actually outside of the media coming up with a good name.
He looks the part too.
Yeah. Yeah, he sucks and he's a geek.
He doesn't suck.
He doesn't suck. I mean, he's good enough to play professional basketball.
Yes.
He obviously is as good at basketball.
Yes. But, I mean, that was his face when he hit that three and turned to DeMarcus Cousins just in, like a thumbs up, like, all right.
Hey.
And then DeMarcus Cousins, like, cracking up at him, like, laughing at him, and they gave him a tech for that.
I know. It's wouldn't you think they just wanted the game to be over?
I know. Well, it's also like I think I also got to get rid of the stupid, like, demonstrative stare technical. I mean, that's part of that's one of the great things about the game.
Sure.
Like, I mean, when Jaylen Brown came down and he looked at LeBron James, that was a great moment. And they're trying to discourage that. Like, that's the stuff people love to see. So I don't know why they would do that. It was kind of like years ago before they changed the rule where you weren't allowed to celebrate in the end zone. I mean, that's part of what makes the game great. And now they've embraced it. And I think that's what they should do in the NBA. But that Grant Williams thing was hysterical because his face is just, I mean, as geeky as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
He's got geek face.
Yep. All right. We will be back. I have a question for you people.
Ooh,
for you people. It's not going to take long. It's not going to be the whole break. But I'm going to... I have a question. And by the way, ESPN has been doing about a 30-minute segment on Robert Kraft says Patriots plan to bring back Tom Brady.
Oh, you mean that thing he just kind of like yelled?
While he was running.
To TMZ, right?
And by the way, are there much funnier things than watching Robert Kraft run? Those legs, they ain't taking big steps.
Surprised he wasn't hanging out with Snoop Dogg while he was in town.
East Coast.
He was with 50 Cent recently, so you're right.
Yeah,
like 50 Cent was in town. He was hanging out with him.
That's a Philly guy.
That's right. You're right.
All right, so we will return.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, I don't know how much of this you can talk about.
Okay.
98.5, the Sports Hub. I don't know how much I... Okay, I just got a question.
Sure.
And you can call in if you want. In youth athletics, have you had people that have played at the collegiate level or professionally been like around?
Like, so like people who are coaching my kids' team and stuff like that?
Or like a parent.
Oh, yeah. I know some people, yeah, who absolutely have played at a high level.
So the professional people are never say anything. You hear about it because they played professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, not major leaguers or anything, but.
Yeah.
How long does it take once you meet the person that played collegiately for them to tell you that they played collegiately?
I know what you're saying. My experience is different than yours, but I know there's a lot of people like the type of person that you're talking about. The guy I knew, I had no idea had played college baseball and was like really good until somebody had to tell me. And that is a rarity, Fred, because usually they wear it on their sleeves.
They wear it
immediately, you know.
They literally
wear
it on their sleeve.
They wear the school's logos all over. They look like a NASCAR racer.
How about never seeing them without the school logo?
Oh, wow.
Never laying eyes on them without the school logo.
Because that's just a way of like opening up the conversation to where you go, hey, how do you know blah, blah, blah school? Like, how do you know Johns Hopkins?
No,
and you go,
there's no necessary. That's not necessary.
Okay, all right.
No, there's no.
Are they wearing their college jersey?
Oh. College with the sport on it.
Okay, I see. So, like, okay, I understand. Toledo Mud Hens or something like that.
No, that's pro.
That's pro, yeah. So, like, whatever.
No. The couple of guys I know that played pro. Like, they play pro. They don't care. I mean, they did what they did. They got paid to play the game. I mean, they played it at a high level. I mean, they're not going to run around telling you that they played pro. Did you ever get one of them that tries real hard? once you know they still got it a little bit?
Sure. But they tell you this is the way it's done in the big leagues and the big time. This is
just want you to know they still got it a little bit.
Okay, all right.
They can make it happen. You know, hey, Fatso.
Do you happen to know someone like that?
No, not at all. I just was reading a book. It came out.
Although that does kind of go along the lines with like, there are certain people that I know who will say something, and I'll go, huh, there's someone I know who just Googles everybody.
Ew.
Yeah, like, hey, you know what I learned about this guy? I Googled their name, and I'm like, it's like somebody who's like, three or four people removed from us.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if you're Googling that guy, what do you learn about all of us?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Google master?
Like if you Google me, like, there's some stuff that you're not going to like.
You Google, like, anybody. You can find some weird stuff.
You're going to see me on Ambien and the whole world is spinning.
But, I mean, it's like I've had, you know, people come up to me and go, oh, yeah, this guy, I Googled him. Take a look at what I found. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Because anyone says that to you, you know they've been Googling you as well.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're going to see me in my underwear on Ambien drunk. Kyle, go ahead.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, what's up,
Kyle?
So I was in Pop Warner, right? And our head coach, who thought he was a total like badass coach, right? He would tell us every single practice basically that he backed up Vince Young at Texas, and he made us all believe it. Keep in mind we're like 11-year-old kids.
Right.
And like we're thinking it's all true. Like what a total just to, like, glide a kid and tell us he packed up his
job. Like, so he was just completely making it up?
He owned it. Like, he thought he was, like, I don't know. He thought he was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Teaching, like, 11-year-old kids, like, how to drop back from a pass because he backed up and dormed with Vince Young at Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, all right, dude. Like, I get it. You're really good in everything.
Sure. You take over.
Hey, then take over.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you do it.
Then you teach them how to do it.
Yeah, what are you doing with me? I don't.
Now, I have had dads who just will, like, I'll be the coach, and dads will just come in and just start coaching the kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that happens all the time. You're like, where'd this guy just... Who the hell is this
like
guy?
Like, just self-mandated assistant coach?
Did you fill out a Corey form? Like, what the hell are you doing here?
Right, right. And that happens.
Like, I had to go through all this crap
And you just get to show up?
That happens all the time. And sometimes
like, I
got
to send these stupid emails, and I got to, you know, talk to all these people.
Right.
And you get to just glide in without...
And it's totally showing you up. Like, I mean, it's,
oh my God, it's like, thank you. That's exactly what it is. Yep. It's showing you up. It's like, you know, I've looked around and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. This guy obviously doesn't know. So, and like, I mean, actually walk out onto the field and tell them what to do.
Oh, right? Yes. Right. Oh, absolutely. Or shaking your head at you and you're just like, oh my God, dude, like just do, why don't you do it?
Right. And you've been in all this time with the kids and maybe there's like, you know, a method to your madness.
I stopped coaching my son because I knew that I wasn't good enough to coach. Now the league, my son's town league, I'm friends with one of the guys that runs it. And they called me at the last minute and they said, can you listen? The teams are going to be huge unless you coach. Then we can parse them down. I said, fine, I'll coach. But I pay a guy out of pocket who I think his name's George Moses. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous coach, the best youth basketball coach, because I feel guilty trying to teach these kids in sixth grade how to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And why not give them, I mean, it's not like $1,000 or anything, but it's like, I feel guilty. So there you go. But if you throw me on a team with 8-year-olds, just leave me alone.
Right.
Like, what am I going to do? Like, just stop. All it is babysitting kids for an hour and sending out emails. Just stop. So you've had it happen.
Dude, I've been the guy, like, you know, this was years ago when I was doing, you know, the coach pitch. And I was coach pitching to one of the kids, and I'm telling the you know, he's having a hard time hit, and that happens all the time.
It happens with everyone. Yeah.
And so I'm giving him advice on, you know, how to hit and how to do it. And then a father who wasn't the father of this child came out and stood between me on the pitcher's mound and the kid and was telling him how to really hit a ball. And I'm like, all right, dude.
Just like, don't you do it? like, why am I out here?
Well, there's been in flag football, like, parents who I can't tell if they're the coach on the other team or not. You end up like, no, that's just a guy.
Football, because Miles only played flag football for 1 year, and the guy was great.
Yeah.
And the guy was tremendous. I've never had a bad experience with a coach. I've never had a bad experience with a coach, really.
I've had coaches yell at my kids on the field, like walk up and make them cry.
That you've had coaches do that?
Yeah, there was an assistant coach one time who went out to the field during a soccer game and put his finger in the chest of one of my kids and made him cry.
Oh, I've had parents come on to the court and make kids cry, but I've never had a coach do it. I've never seen a coach do it.
Coach who did that.
How old?
It's, 8. Whew. Yeah, whew is right. You want to talk about a scene? Like, that was like, I mean, someone lost their mind.
I mean, I've seen coaches almost get into it, and I suppose we could do a break on that sometime, but I've seen coaches almost get into it. But there's a certain point where you're like, oh, my God, just you do it. Like, just you do it. Like, why? Like, if you just you do
because
it.
Because you do just kind of want at that point just walk away and go, all right, man, team's yours. Go
I
for
wouldn't
it.
Care. Go. Like, you know why I'm doing this? Because I did it with my son and my daughter. It's her time.
Sure.
And I have the time to do it.
And you're not going to be able to do it for the rest of their. I mean, this is something you want to do while they're still young enough where you can be their coach.
And my daughter appreciates it, and she thinks it's the greatest thing.
Because at
the
some
world.
Point, they need a real coach if they continue to want to do this.
Which is exactly
right?
Why I'm not coaching my son anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, but you had the greatest all time. Yeah. I don't know how much you can talk about it, but
oh yeah. I mean, it was bad. You are talking about the guy who went out there.
No, you're the guy with the webs.
Oh yeah, I can't.
Rich,
don't.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to. But Rich showed me something involving athletics a couple years ago at a bar, and I was crying, laughing.
It's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest.
It's really the greatest thing.
Someday.
People are just insane. You're not going to listen to me. Run. I'm not going to yell at you. Just run.
Is that the new thing? Is that the new, when the kids don't listen, you just make them run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an athletic sport. When you go to gym, they make you run.
I do the same thing. Like, if anyone's like messing around, just like laps. Go.
Yeah, just run.
And it works.
Yeah, if you're running, you're exercising.
It took me about 2 to 3 years of coaching till I learned that great trick. And it was just, sorry, you acted up, laps.
Yep, run.
That's all. I mean, you're getting your exercise. All right, we got this stat coming up, Richie Rich. What are we going to talk
this
about?
This Aerosmith infighting is getting really weird. On top of that, when David Spade met Tom Brady at the UFC fight.
All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Thatcher and Rich.
I can't think that that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Oh, they brought back the NFL skills competition.
Oh, they had that last year where you have to throw it into the big moving circles.
Are they still doing dodgeball?
That's tonight.
Are they still doing dodgeball?
I think they are still doing dodgeball.
Yeah.
The skills competition's fun. The one with the quarterbacks is fantastic.
The NHL skills competition added a new event. Apparently, there are going to be 10 players on like this 30-foot riser that have to shoot pucks off that riser onto targets on the ice. It's a trick shot competition.
So the skills competition, I read something that they got the producer of that show Wipeout. You know, like they've got all the people playing it. It feels like that at times. But I forgot who it was like last year. I think like Andy Dalton shockingly did really well. I think Deshaun Watson did pretty good in the skills competition. I forgot who ultimately won. But yeah, I didn't realize that was tonight. That's this evening.
Yeah, I guess. At 9 o'clock on ESPN.
Well, maybe Tom Brady should do it. He doesn't have much to do, so.
Sure.
He's no all-pro. He's no pro bowler.
No. Not this year.
Nope, he is not.
You got to be a pro bowler to participate.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case.
I think it is the case.
To be in the skills?
Because what they just
only
showed.
Only pro bowlers allowed, man.
Yeah, they had the pro bowl jerseys.
Because I thought there were like 8 quarterbacks that used to have
something where it was the quarterbacks. And it was just random quarterbacks, but this...
Okay, so this you have to be?
Right.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Participating in the dodgeball event unless you're a pro bowler. Yes,
by the way, speaking of the Super Bowl, there are the brand new prop bets that have come out for it. We mentioned a few with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz of the Bankroll Boys earlier. The MVP prop bets are favored to be Patrick Mahomes with plus 130, and then it goes Jimmy Garoppolo plus 275. Then Raheem Mostert with plus 550, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill at 1,600, and George Kittle after that. But then it gets interesting. The Patrick Mahomes passing yards, you just give me your answer. Over, under, 304 yards.
Over.
I say over on that one. Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards, 239.
Well, I've been told the sharps are saying over.
Under.
See, I mean, you want to say under, but that's why I don't gamble, because it just seems too easy.
You got to do what the sharps say.
I guess so. Patrick Mahomes passing touchdowns, over, under 2.5. I'm going over on that one.
Under. I go under on that.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I think San Francisco's defense and pass rusher is that good.
Jimmy Garoppolo passing touchdowns, over, under 1.5.
Zero, so under.
Okay, all right.
There's got to be a time he throws a touchdown.
Maybe if San Francisco's up 33-0 and he's trying to run the ball, get past the ball down the field, and they're playing prevent.
How about Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards? They have the over-under at 29.5.
Over.
See, I would take the over, but then I'm going to be told how stupid I am.
No, that's, I mean, listen, I mean, you saw what he did in that one scramble, and he does that kind of crap all the time.
I mean, there's a chance he could break off a run for 30 yards.
Over, because all of his receivers will be covered. Over.
Yeah, John is just
very bullish on the San Francisco defense.
All in on the San Francisco defense.
Jimmy Garoppolo rushing yards. 15.5, over, under.
Under, because he, but you got to take into consideration sacks as well. If you think that the 49ers defense is that good, I mean, that's negative rushing yards.
We're talking about that. He's talking about Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's Garoppolo.
No.
Yeah.
But I'm going back,
I understand.
To Mahomes.
Sure. I still think Mahomes is over.
Okay. Because, I mean, if you think that this pass rush is just going to go insane,
it's great.
I mean, they could sack him 5 times and then you're out of luck.
Yep. Longest touchdown, over under 44.5 yards.
Well, obviously, I have a big take on that.
Who knows with that one? And then they have which will be higher. Donald Trump's total tweets on Super Bowl Sunday or the 49ers point total. It's tweets and retweets for Donald Trump's account.
Okay, during the game or all day?
All day.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah.
So there won't be.
So he set a record. It was 2 days ago. Donald Trump had the second most tweets and retweets than he's ever had in his presidency. Because I guess it was the beginning of the whole impeachment thing.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. All that's probably still going to be going on by the time that the Super Bowl rolls around.
He was reacting to live events, though, right?
A lot of it, yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you work for digital for Fox News, my God, you
I was just going to say, it depends on how many things Fox tweets out that he retweets.
Well, because everyone that click either side, because people will retweet the Fox stuff and go, like, look at how much of an idiot Trump is, and then you click on the Fox thing, so they're getting clicks all over the place.
So, yeah, maybe I'm thinking Trump wins that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he'll be just sitting tightly and watching football.
just enjoying it at Mar-a-Lago.
Just enjoying her life.
So David Spade was at the UFC fight, and sitting right in front of him was Tom Brady, and he told a story on his show about their meet.
I got a pic of him. We were fist bumping. Someone took this. Look at this. Oh, look at us. Adorable. By the way, that wasn't the only one. We were fist bumping on everything. Oh, my God. He was chewing my ear off the whole time. Blah, blah, blah. We were laughing. We were cracking up. Someone said he was trying to deflate my down jacket. I said, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not doing that joke. He's my friend. And, of course, Brady's in the front row. He's a monster star, and they love him so much. He could have asked for 3 seats in the ring, and he would have gotten it. You know what I mean? Oh, in the ring? Yeah. Yes, in the ring. There's just 3 of us. Who cares? Give me those little stools they sit on. Jam us in the corner. It's an octagon. No one even goes over there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Whatever you need.
It was kind of surprising because...
Wow, Spade with the comedy chops.
Yeah, I know. He's just bringing the yucks.
There's a lot of knee slappers in that bad boy.
The one thing about David Spade that is somewhat astounding is that I looked at the clip and the pictures that they were showing of him and Tom Brady. And, of course, Brady's in the front. Spade's in the second row. McConaughey's like in the 7th row.
Yeah.
Is Spade that much bigger of a star?
It's just Spade has had sex inexplicably with so many hot women.
That's, you know, it's just it's respect just, factor.
Yeah, there's a respect there. Factor. Apparently David Spade, and I read his autobiography, which wasn't bad, but apparently David Spade is just like insane.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Him and, as I mentioned yesterday, Wilder Valderrama is the other one. It's like those two guys, like, inexplicably,
but,
how do they
but
do it?
But he's in his 50s, and he's still bringing it in. Mm. All right, chances are we'll talk about something else because the chances of someone from the Zolak and Bertrand show coming in are about 25%. What are the odds on that?
The over-under?
just plus 120. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
I found a pic, by the way, of the black market Elmo costume that I got from a dude in a van in Stoneham for my kid's party. So there you go. First step to being a furry. What's that? What's that, Zoe?
Can you please play some Don Chi, please?
I don't even know if we have
Elmo. That you,
Don
Elmo?
We gotta have that.
Come on, you gotta have that. That's one of your old timers, man.
Have you guys seen my lottery dream home? Recently.
Oh, that is the greatest.
Do they really give those away?
So what, no,
I don't
no.
believe that they give these away. Like the dream home giveaway.
No. You buy them.
So what happens is this guy who's just the best.
You could look at him. I could look at this guy. Look at what he used to look like.
Oh, yeah. And now look at him. He is like tattoo king.
And his face is like fascinating. Like he's had so much work done to his face.
Oh, he's great.
And he's like so overly nice. Uh-huh. I could look at him. I could look at that guy's face for an hour.
But you'll talk to these
being like, what's going on with that thing?
The whole thing is that people win the lottery and they go buy a home and he helps them find it. So they'll get these people who like have lived in poverty their entire life. They're like from the sticks, like West Virginia. And they'll be like, okay, what is your budget for the house? And they'll say, our budget is $500,000.
Yep.
How much did you win? $500,000.
No, I see the opposite. I always see the opposite is that they'll go like, you won $5 million, and they'll be like, yep. And then they'll go like, what's your budget? And they'll go like $150,000.
Oh, you see, it's always, well, I guess it's the people who seem to have all the dumb people they put on there. It's like
they're all
the exact amount they won they want to buy a house
with. No, they're all dumb, but these people live, like you said, they live in these areas where like $150,000 for a house is like this grand structure.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to watch this guy who's so flamboyant and so interesting looking.
Right.
Driving around like, you know, Hoosiers, where they filmed Hoosiers, and like looking at these houses.
These guys are like, I want a golden toilet. You know, they want all this stuff. They're asking, and you're like, well, you really can't get that for $300,000 in downtown Boston.
See, I haven't seen those. I watch it a lot, and I always see where they're that they. I'm always a little disappointed.
I have a friend, like somebody I know, whose episode of House Hunters just aired.
Ugh, House Hunters. Boo.
House Hunters has been on for like a million seasons.
Ugh. Do you even get anything for being on House Hunters?
Yeah, they pay you. They pay you for being on it. And most of the time, like, you've already found your house.
Yeah.
But they just show you two other ones that aren't your house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why do I recognize that name?
He's played Patriots.
Former first-round draft pick.
Okay. Thanks, Wallach, stat boy.
Was he cornerback?
Yes. Yes, Syracuse.
Okay,
safety, cornerback.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Couldn't move his hips much.
You got to have fluid hip movement. You'll learn that.
You got to have it like Matthew McConaughey.
Yep. You got to come out of the house.
I will never, ever buy Lincoln because of his Lincoln commercial.
I don't turn the channel when the Lincoln commercial's on.
I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the F is going on. Seriously.
He's standing next to a lake.
Why are you driving through the desert and you have a tux on? It's unbuckled.
By the way.
Unbuttoned. But, like, you're staring out. And then all of a sudden, boom, a nightclub shows you. You're there. And then there's a pool table. And you just walk out. And then I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Underrated is the Johnny Depp weird cologne.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Like, what the hell is the cologne where he's in the desert and he just has like a million bracelets and necklaces on?
Bangles everywhere.
And then he just like digs a hole into the ground and pulls out this thing. He's like super serious. You think he dyes that thing on his face? Apparently he just drinks red wine all day, like in like $400 bottles.
Yeah.
$400 bottles. He just blows all his money. All right, Scott, what do you guys got going on?
A little bit of everything. We're going to get into the Zion stuff, too. I think it's amazing, you know, how quickly this kid scores, but he's on a, you know. We'll you're going to sit because you're injured, and then the team's going to lose. This new NBA, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
No. Load management. He was injured.
He looked injured.
Yeah, he's his first game back. Well, didn't quite come out of the box.
I think there should be some sort of an asterisk with that. Like, okay, we understand the load management aspect of it, but damn, if it's final 5 minutes of a game.
Oh, you got
you're down 17.
You got a guy rolling, like that, bro. Your team, you do not take any risks in his early years.
You see how pissed the coach was? Like,
yeah, I know he was.
I guess.
All right.
And Hardy's back, and we're excited about
that. Hey.
No, Tim McCone.
Oh, no.
Not that that's bad.
You didn't like his shirt yesterday.
That's the same shirt McCone had on right there yesterday. Right down the hall.
Oh.
Engineer shirt.
Okay. You didn't like that. So the engineers should feel pretty bad.
Well, engineers usually wear check shirts.
Yeah.
Part of the getup.
Right. They're like lumberjacks.
Yeah.
All right.
Blue collar. You drive trains, man. You got to, you drive that.
Salt to the bus people.
Pardon me?
Bus people. People take the bus.
Some pockets. You can put some pens in or tickets.
All right. Well,
let me pull a receipt out right here.
You guys. Everything's going to be handy. You got to have everything on you.
I understand. It's very important.
All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a marvelous, marvelous day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.